Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dirt and Sprague on Football Friday on 1080 The Fan.
The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea. With a rollicking song, he sweeps along, swaggering boisterously.
This is a Football Friday edition of Dirt and Sprague.
Brought to you by the Odyssey app. Download the Odyssey app, follow 1080 The Fan, and enable push notifications to get the latest on the Ducks, Beavers, Blazers, and more.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, let's do this. Hour number two. Happy Friday morning. Welcome in, Dirt and Sprague. No Sprague today. He's out for his anniversary. I am Dirt.
I don't do a ton of research.
We got a lot to get to in the second hour of the show. Sounds like we're going to LSU. Is that confirmed? Do we have a thumbs up on that? Maybe. Yeah. Tilted the head. Potentially go to LSU coming up. Yeah, Muscle Menos, maybe, coming up at 7:30. Maybe go to LSU. They got a big one this weekend. The old Crimson Tide are coming to town. LSU and Alabama play. And so we'll see if we can go down there. Where is our... I lost our SEC... Oh, here we go.
We can't trust your ass now.
They're going down to Baton Rouge this weekend. Can't wait to watch that one. Should be fun. Should be a fun weekend of college football. We got a lot to get to here in the second hour. Most of it will be college football. And that's where we will start. The Oregon Ducks are taking on Maryland this weekend. The Fighting Maryland Terrapins. The Fighting Juan Dixons and Steve Blakes are in town.
That's right.
Oregon and Maryland have never played in football before.
Pretty ever. Remarkable.
Pretty more after all the years, never
you
once
would
in
have
a
thought
random
some
game,
random bowl game back somewhere they would have. No.
I mean, Oregon didn't go used to go to a lot of bowl games, so that was the one part. Yeah. In more recent memory,
but you thought like in the 80s and 90s when could they were getting to some bowl games, but yeah. Not the premier ones. You could have. That's where you know a Sun Bowl. You could have caught Maryland.
Random game, never won. So this would be the first time ever. I understand that a lot of people outside looking in who were not Duck fans just kind of roll their eye at this game because, you know, it's Maryland, and Maryland's not great. It's a 25-point spread. I will say, you know, I kind of view games like this that aren't my team as well, like Georgia playing, I don't know, Mississippi State. Like, all right, I'm not going to watch that game, but I'm going to scroll on ESPN and see what's the score
You're
at halftime.
Keeping an eye on this.
Is it 24-21 in the third quarter? I'm like, whoa, what's going on? Now I'm changing the channel to it, or is it 28-0 in the second quarter, and you're like, all right, that's why I wasn't watching Georgia play Mississippi State. Probably what the game is going to be for a lot of fans who aren't Oregon fans this weekend. It's 4 o'clock right here on The Fan and on the Big Ten Network. And on that note of, you know, will this be a letdown spot? Will this be, you know, potential for, are you going to overlook an opponent? You're coming off a big win against Michigan, going on the road to Wisconsin next weekend. This is sandwiched in between them. Isaac and Sue talked to Dan Lanning, as they do every Thursday at 4 o'clock. It was a really fun interview yesterday. Suggest you go listen to the entire thing. They asked him about, you know, you're the number one team in the country. Maryland, the Terrapins are coming to town, and this is not college basketball. How do you keep your focus?
It's not that hard when you have a group of guys motivated, like our group is, and hungry. I think we have a group that really pays attention to the things that matter and realizes the things that don't, and you know, are motivated to be great. So I don't think it's that tough for us. We got a great group of coaches and a great group of players right now.
You know, what's helping them in that cause, I think, is that a lot of their key guys are players who are veterans, who have been around a long time, who have seen a lot of football. Like, Gabriel's Garoppolo's going to break Bo Nix's starting quarterback record, which is remarkable after what we went through with Bo last year. You got guys on the offensive line who have played meaningful snaps. Your wide receivers have been in big games. Look at all your transfer guys you brought in the secondary. Hell, Jabbar Muhammad played in a national championship last year. Kobe Savage from Kansas State, they played in a Big 12 title game. Like, you got a lot of guys who play big-time football. They understand what it takes. This isn't a young, inexperienced team. At a lot of positions, these are veterans who have been through this, and they understand the grind and what it takes week in and week out in order to win. So if I'm looking for things this weekend, just to circle or keep an eye on for Oregon and Maryland, the only thing that should scare you as a Duck fan is that Maryland can sling the ball around a little bit. They can throw it. They got two really good wide receivers. They run an air raid system. When you look at their point totals and kind of the way that they've thrown the ball, they're not terrible. They have, let me pull up the numbers here. Where's their, that's passing defense. They have the worst passing defense in the Big Ten. Their passing offense in the Big Ten this year is number one. They're throwing the ball for 314 yards per game. Oregon is number two at 299. So just give you a glimpse of kind of where Maryland's offense is at. They can sling the rock. They got two really good big-bodied wide receivers on the outside. That's really the only concern that you have if you're Oregon. And I actually will think, you know, if I'm watching this game, that's a really good test for Oregon secondary. You look at Oregon last year, one of their big weaknesses in those big matchups against Washington was the way that their secondary would play. And outside of Kyrie Jackson, RIP, you didn't really have another guy back there that you trusted at a high level, either at safety or a corner in terms of pass coverage. And at times they were exposed against the Huskies. Now, the Huskies exposed a lot of folks. They were really good outside of those games. I think Oregon's secondary has been tremendous and one of the more underrated parts of their team this year. They just haven't faced a lot of offenses. You see this a lot more in the Pac-12. This is one of the biggest differences, I think, in the conference change, where in the Pac-12, you would face a random Washington State team who couldn't really run the ball. Their defense wasn't very good, but damn it, they were going to throw it 50 times a game, and they were going to test your secondary. And you would stumble across teams like that, Arizona the last couple of years, that could sling it around on you. There's not a lot of offenses like that in the Big Ten. You're playing Purdue's, you're playing Illinois's, you're playing Michigan. These are teams that want to be physical at the line of scrimmage, that want to run the ball. And so there haven't been a ton of tests for this Oregon secondary, really outside of, hell, maybe just the Ohio State game. Well, this is one where they'll get tested. I think they're up for the challenge. I think Nico Reed has been one of the more underrated players on Oregon's team this year. He's come on incredibly impressively the last couple of weeks. And that corner number two spot outside of Jabbar Muhammad. So a really fun matchup for Oregon secondary. I can't wait to see how they handle it. And it's a good challenge for them going forward, because eventually down the road, you're going to face some offenses. Washington has a really good passing attack, one of the better wide receivers in the country this year. And so going into the Big Ten title game, potentially in a playoff spot, you're going to have to need a little bit more from your secondary. And I'm excited to see how they face that challenge. Outside of that, for me, it really comes down to, is there an overlook factor here? As Lanning just talked about, it hasn't been a problem for them yet, outside of the first two clunkers right out of the gate. Is it a slow start? Do you do things to hurt yourselves that will allow Maryland to stick in the game? And then where do you go from the guys that got banged up last week? Now, it sounds like Marcus Harper is going to be fine. I doubt he's going to play tomorrow. But that's good news for you long term. Where do you go with guard with him being gone? Where's that next guy up? So they put in Kawika Rogers. He came in late after Harper went down on the road in Michigan. Is that your answer? Do you go Dave Iuli, who was back for the first time this past week, a junior who they were really high on in training camp, big 6'3", 340-pound body at guard, massive human being. Is that your answer? There's a handful of freshmen who have kind of started to see a little more, you know, potential to get some playing time or maybe getting in a garbage time situation. So I'm fascinated to see where they go at guard. That is, I think most people would argue all season been their Achilles heel, where it was if the offensive line goes down or if the offensive line doesn't gel, that will be why Oregon doesn't have the season that many people are expecting. But it's solved all the answers, or solved all the problems that they had early in the season. They've been healthy. They've had that same group start, that same five start, essentially since the Oregon State game. They found their footing in the second half against Boise as an offensive line, got the right combination in there, Poncho at center, Strother and Harper at guard, and so it's been the same lineup now for a very long time, and now you're likely going to have to change that up. So does that throw a wrinkle in? Is there a drop-off in play? Rogers had a couple of plays against Michigan where he really struggled, and there was a lot of push up front. You're not going to quite face the same defensive line against Maryland that you did against Michigan last week. So I don't quite expect that to be the problem, but just curious to see where they go there. And then on the outside, I mean, you had Tez Johnson go down, who was your number one guy in terms of targets and yards and basically every receiving category. Great news earlier this week that he's going to be back at some point this season. Who's the next wide receiver up? Now, it sounds like Gary Bryant should be able to or could be able to play this weekend, which would be massive for them.
Taj Holden had some big plays for you against Michigan.
Holden was great, man. He was awesome. And so I think your number one, number two is going to be Evan Stewart and Trayshon Holden. Your number three, if Bryant is back, will likely be Gary Bryant. You can line up Kenyon Sadiq on the outside. If Gary Bryant can't go, which one of your young is it, you know, are you going to a Jeremiah McClellan? Is it Jurion Dickey? Is it Ryan Pelham who dropped the punt? Just seeing where that lineup kind of unfolds.
I think they'll use two tight ends more, especially if Ferguson's
absolutely.
You can put Sadiq in a slot or something like that.
You flex him in, flex him out. They got three different tight ends that they feel comfortable playing. The Herbert thing, they got to stop going him on third down and maybe on fourth and goal. That's my only issue with it. But
you can play with Sadiq and Ferguson.
Absolutely you can, and they do it a lot. And so I just think seeing how they navigate some of these guys going down and which next young guy steps up. You know, we went – go back to the Ohio State week where it's Jordan Birch goes down. How are you going to fare defensively? And you saw Mateo and Tatum Tuioti have these awesome performances and kind of take over. You've seen some of the interior defensive line. Those young guys have come along. They're really high on this young group of wide receivers. Jeremiah McClellan especially. He would be my biggest guess if Gary Bryant isn't a huge part of the offense. My first guess would be it is Jeremiah McClellan. He's looked really good in the time that he has been put in late in games. And so just seeing how that all shakes out, I think it's going to be fascinating. Maryland is not a super stiff challenge, but college football teaches us every single week that if you overlook somebody or you play with your food or you fart around a little bit too much, you never know what the hell could happen. And that almost happened to Oregon the first 2 weeks of the season. Been a different team since then. So as long as they don't beat themselves, I don't see Maryland hanging around, primarily because when you look at Maryland's defensive numbers on the season, they are atrocious. They're the third worst defense in the Big Ten. They're the worst pass defense in the Big Ten. Rushing defense, they are, you know, bottom half of the Big Ten in rushing defense. And so this is a team that really struggles to get stops, really struggles to keep points off the board.
I'd be curious to see if Maryland tries to run on first down or if they try to go reverse, knowing how stout the front seven is for the Ducks, knowing they've got to get yards on first down.
Yeah, don't want to put yourself in second and nine consistently.
Exactly. So I'll be curious when Oregon figures out what they're doing on first down, and then if they win first down, then it could be a long day for the Maryland offense.
Their rushing offense this year in the Big Ten is 14th. They're averaging 119 yards per game. The only rushing offense is lower than them, Michigan State, Minnesota, Northwestern, and UCLA.
But how much are they trying to run?
That's a great question. Yeah, they're an air raid offense. They love throwing the football.
They want to throw the ball.
Yes, they do. So Maryland in town tomorrow. I know this isn't one that's going to put the antennas up for a lot of people. You reach this time of year, man, it is wild to think, you got three games left. It's almost over.
I know.
So you look up, you're like, oh, okay.
Well,
you got Maryland, Wisconsin, bye week,
like,
Washington, and the year's over.
Just regular seizing season. Opportunity.
Yeah.
You know, as the last game showed, with some key guys getting hurt, great. They should be back, you know, to play at some point. But, you know.
Does it give you another piece that they play so well that you then feel confident giving other guys
that,
a rest?
But you're three wins from the Big Ten championship.
You are.
And you might be two wins away, depending on what else happens with other, you know, schools.
Very true.
So get them now and
right.
don't leave things hanging. I think that's more the message. And this is where Dan Lanning preaching, playing to our standard. It's really about us. We've heard that from July.
That's always been his mantra. Yeah.
It's his mantra, but that's where it shows up in these weeks.
When you're playing Maryland, and you got to bring it, because talent-wise, they have no business hanging on the field with you, but that's not what games are decided on.
Some players, and they have a system that can provide big explosive plays.
Yes, they do.
And all of a sudden, you fall asleep for a series. And
safety doesn't get over the top. Oh, God, we just gave up a 40-yard completion. What happened?
Why?
And then you drop a punt. It's raining. You know.
And then it's Idaho in the fourth quarter.
Weird stuff can happen. Last thing I'll have on this, and then we'll move on to the other in-state school, because they got a big one this weekend as well. Lanning was asked yesterday on primetime, something if you're looking, you know, Duck fan, hey, what should I keep an eye on this weekend? The third quarter thing is becoming a storyline. Now, is there validity to it? Like, statistically, yes. You're still winning games comfortably and by double digits and covering numbers. So I'm not losing a lot of sleep over it, but they asked Lanning, hey, third quarter, what the hell's going on?
Now, do we need to work on your halftime speeches? I mean, what's going on with this third quarter stuff? You know, everybody's making a big deal out of this.
Yeah, I'm pretty bad at those.
Coincidence?
We'll figure something out.
Or, actual problem?
I mean, there's truth to it, right? Like, there's always some truth to the reality of that we haven't done as well as we want to do in the third quarter. So it's an opportunity for growth for us, for sure.
So, opportunity for growth. Do they score a touchdown in the third quarter, Jason Swagger? They have not scored a touchdown in the third quarter in Big Ten play.
I think they will get a touchdown.
You think they get one this weekend? Yeah. Okay.
I think Dan Lanning's the kind of guy, and he's handling it great so far in the media. I think under his skin, I think he's tired that this won't go away.
Yes.
And the only way it goes away is by
a 14-0 third quarter 14, on Saturday.
17-0 third quarter.
Yeah. So
I don't think he's overly worried about it. I think they look at it as some sort of coincidence. They have had massive halftime leads in most of their recent games.
They go into this shell mode of just
run
the ball and
wanting to, you know, consolidate the games at that point, having a big lead. Let's not get wild and crazy and put ourselves in a position to do something stupid. But at the same point, I think he's getting tired of the question.
Well, he can put an end to him this weekend with a nice little third quarter. You'll say, we don't need to talk about that anymore. So Oregon and Maryland tomorrow, some things to keep an eye on. We'll see. You never know. College football's funky. You get wild games sometimes. Maryland shouldn't be able to hang, but the weather's going to be a little bad.
It looks like we're back up on YouTube.
Hey, we are. Look at that. Hey, good morning, everybody. Happy Friday to you. Hey, look at me. Welcome. Better later than, did Joey figure it out? How do we get that resolved?
I don't necessarily know.
We just rebooted a computer.
Well, I rebooted it, then he was in remoting looking at 72 different settings to see if there's, okay, you know, the one switch in the fifth window in the background that didn't get flipped on.
Well, better late than never. We are here. It is a Football Friday. Shout out to Joey, too, by the way. A lot of times engineers, getting them up early for things that go wrong or haywire during our show has not been easy. Joey is the man. I love Joey. And I hope he is here forever because he's awesome. He'll always get up when we have an issue. Back on YouTube, good morning, everybody. There is your Oregon-Maryland breakdown and preview. Let's go to the other in-state school. Big one for your Beavs this weekend. A must-win if they want to go to a bowl game. What do we make of the quarterback situation? They're a little bit healthier. Talk a little bit about that matchup. That's next on 1080 The Fan.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
All right, well, maybe go to Baton Rouge coming up bottom of the hour. Maybe just talk some generic college football.
I think we're going to Baton Rouge.
Okay, we'll call them. We'll see if they answer.
Yes.
See how it goes. We are at least, I think, back on YouTube. Now I'm getting a circle that's going in. Who knows what's going on today?
I saw us there for a bit.
Is that a fart?
I don't know. Who knows? It's a Friday. We're trying to get through it. All right, we're navigating. That's what we do. We got to adjust. You got to go on the fly.
The chat's going.
The chat is going.
I'm hoping that means they at least hear us.
I think they can hear us. Let's talk about Oregon State. They are at home tomorrow against San Jose State, 12:30.
Yes.
If you're going down to tailgate early for the Oregon game, this will be a dual traffic day. We have not had one of these in a long time.
No.
Dual home game. I'm trying to think, maybe since the opening game of the season, has there been one since then where they've both been at home at the same time?
No.
I'm not going to be down there this weekend, but I'm down at home at every other game, and I don't feel like that's
been a
thing.
Yeah, leave early, especially B fans, get there early.
Yeah, I mean, look, the weather's not going to be great tomorrow. This is a massive game for Oregon State. It is a massive game for them.
Yep.
You're taking on San Jose State, who has been, I think, a lot better than people imagined coming into the year. A team that lost their head coach last year, and it's a team that's going to come in and sling the rock. Their starting quarterback is Emmett Brown. He's a transfer from Washington State. Now, I got to acknowledge, I have not watched a lot of San Jose State football, but I did watch that game. That was one of them that was a Friday night game, if I'm not mistaken. and on super late, back and forth, huge blown leads each way when they're on the road at Washington State. And they ended up losing, what, 54-52 or something like that in overtime. Just a bananas game up in Pullman. They are the bottom rushing offense in the Mountain West Conference, but not because they're not great at running the football. It's just they don't really try to run the football.
They don't run it that much.
They sling the rock, and they're going to throw the football a ton. And I think the biggest questions that I have out of this game, it sounds like Oregon State, been watching some stuff from them this week. They're getting healthier on the defensive side of the ball. That is a massive, massive bit of good news for Beaver fans. So it's great to be healthier on that side of the ball. Now, we talked about it earlier in the week, and I don't know if we ended up even getting an announcement on this, but I believe it was reported we talked about it on the show that Trent Brace said, we're going to name a starting quarterback after practice on Thursday. We're going to wait as the week goes on. And I was scrolling everywhere trying to find any sort of news on their starting quarterback, and I did not see anything. So
I haven't seen anything.
Okay, I wanted to make sure I wasn't alone in that. Beaver fan, if I'm wrong on that, please let me know. But I was searching the ends of the earth to try to find if there was some sort of press conference or quote or report or article or anything on who their starting quarterback will be this week, and I did not see it. And so, I mean, that's question number one for Oregon State. Where do you go at quarterback? And what does your offense look like? If you want a stat that'll make you feel a little encouraged about this matchup, San Jose State's rushing defense this year, middle of the road in the Mountain West. This is not, you know, when you played UNLV a couple of weeks ago, we at least talked about it going in of like, all right, UNLV's rush defense isn't bad. They're number one in the conference. They're only giving up barely 100 yards a game. Look what they did, by the way, the next week against Ashton Jeanty, too, who I know still had a good performance, but not an Ashton Jeanty kind of performance. And so this is not one of the better rush defenses in the Mountain West. It's a team that you should be able to move the ball on the ground. You're just going to have to find some semblance of a passing attack. And for whatever reason, I think part of it is their rushing game has fallen off drastically. They have not been able to throw the football effectively in what feels like a month. In a lot of their big plays, you going back to that UNLV game, you had long runs by the quarterback. It's a lot of that kind of stuff. They have no passing attack right now. And without that, you're going to have a hard time winning games because San Jose State's going to come in and say, all right, let's load nine guys into the box. We're not going to let you run the football. You can't win one-on-one on the outside. We don't trust your quarterback to find the open guys. And good luck. We're going to make you play in second and eight and third and seven all night. And sure, maybe your quarterback can scramble and pick up a first down every now and then, but we're going to make you live in third and long, and you don't have the kind of offense that can survive being in third and long the entire game. And so that would be the game plan if I'm San Jose State. I do like the news that Oregon State is healthier defensively. That should help them. And this is a passing attack,
not as much of a rushing attack.
It's different.
They throw four picks in their last game against Fresno State.
I mean, yeah, they're throwing it 40-something times a game. Like,
so,
and they got boat raced by Fresno State in their last game. I think 31-10 was the final.
33-10.
33-10 was the final.
So I think if they've gone to work and had this bye and they got a few more guys, there's opportunities there for them to take advantage.
This is ultimately the deciding game of your season.
I think so.
If you lose this weekend, Air Force is not good at football, so
no.
You should have a great chance to win that game. Your remaining games being Washington State and Boise State after that. If you're struggling with San Jose State, I have a hard time seeing you win those games at the end of the season. Now, things can change. Football's weird. You never know. But this is basically your chance at making a bowl game. And it would be a really tough pill to swallow and a really rough year one for Trent Bray. Not all of it is his fault. His roster was decimated. They've had too many injuries to even begin to count. But getting to a bowl game would be massive just for a little bit of positive momentum going into the offseason, giving your young guys an extra couple of weeks of practice, just having all of that to lead into your second year as head coach there as you're trying to reestablish and settle things down. It would be huge for them. And so it just, you look at this one, and it's the feeling of, all right, take a deep breath, and the losing streak, get a nice win, got a chance to go bowling. That'll be the conversation on Monday if you win. And if you lose, you're looking at a chance at likely a 5-7 type of year. I don't know how the Air Force game would go, so that's the one win you're giving them. But a 5-7 type year would be a really tough pill to swallow for Beaver fans. So massive, massive one for them. I like a lot of the matchups. I did take San Jose State in our big PP picks yesterday just because they're both coming off a bye, and I don't trust Oregon State's passing attack right now. But in terms of the matchups, there are a lot of things that benefit Oregon State here. They just got to figure out who their quarterback's going to be. I hope settle on one guy the rest of the way, but I doubt that happens. I think they're all three likely going to play tomorrow, especially if you have times in that game where your offense is clunky. Oregon State, San Jose State tomorrow at 12:30. Let's maybe go to Baton Rouge. Thumbs up. Going to Baton Rouge. They got a live Tiger back on the sideline. They're hosting Alabama this weekend. Massive recruiting weekend for them. LSU, Alabama. Let's go down to Baton Rouge. We'll do that coming up next for the Daily Ticker on 1080 The Fan.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague is poured by Pelican Brewing. Independently brewing since 1996. Your local coastal brewery. Pelican Brewing, born at the beach.
My Daily Ticker time on a Friday, brought to you as always by our good friends at Pelican Brewing, now offering their newest signature Pelican West Coast IPA on a shelf near you. Raise your glass, drink on Pelican Brewing, born at the beach. Let's go down to Baton Rouge. Big one tomorrow night. LSU hosting Alabama. Potential elimination game for whoever the loser is trying to stay alive in the college football playoff. Chase, and joining us now from Baton Rouge talking about that game, Billy Embody, who covers LSU for On3 at Billy Embody on Twitter. Go give him a follow. Billy, good morning to you, man. Thanks for the last second agreement to come on the show. We appreciate it. This is a fascinating game for me. I want to start, though. I believe I read there's going to be a live Tiger back on the sideline. So can you confirm if that's true? And then when was, like, is this not a regular thing anymore? What's happened to the live Tiger?
Okay, first of all, I want to start with Pelican Brewing. Ooh. Love the Cannon Beach location.
Hell
first
yes.
of all. So shout out Pelican. yeah, I enjoyed my time out there when I went out to Arch Cape. But yes, there is going to be a live Tiger in LSU Stadium, Tiger Stadium, for the first time in a long, long time. The school stopped doing it back in 2017, and it's been obviously a hot-button decision by the governor, Jeff Landry, to go out and bring in a Tiger from a Florida wildlife refuge, okay, and wheel him on out there. And I believe the name is Omar Bradley. That is the Tiger's name. They're going to wheel it out there and have him hang out on the field, apparently. So this is actually a funny story, because LSU is probably, out of all the schools across the country, the only place where you can blend the governor in directly on an almost daily basis with the football team. And it's happened for, you know, multiple administrations. And so LSU actually isn't a big fan of this. They stopped wheeling Mike out there for games, like I said, almost a decade ago now. And so this won't be the actual LSU Mike, the seventh. This is going to be Omar Bradley. So what a wild, wild time. But yeah, politics and LSU football just go together like peanut butter and jelly, apparently.
So two follow-ups here, and then we'll get to the actual game, I promise. First, do we know if the Tiger came from Carole Baskin? Because when you say, like, Tiger rescue, like, that's my first thought in Florida. And then you mentioned Mike the seventh. Like, is there another – is Mike still alive? Did Mike die? What happened? Is Mike still around?
Yeah, so this is not from Carole Baskin, I don't believe. But that would just be incredible if it was. But no, so they have Mike the Seventh right now. So they continue to have each Mike. And Mike has his own big old habitat right outside of Tiger Stadium. You can go and see him. Fed very well, taken care of like an absolute king. He's been with us since August 21st, 2017. That was the first day of classes at LSU that year, and he was announced. He's won a national championship. He's actually already he's also a Florida native, so to speak. He's from Okeechobee and was donated, so he's a rescue. So that's kind of how they kind of handle it now. They don't support, you know, for-profit breeding. It's all about providing a home for a tiger that needs one. And out of all the tigers around the country, I would say LSU takes care of theirs very, very well.
I love it. This is going to be a fun storyline to watch as the teams take the field. You're like, hey, there we go. Now we know the backstory. All of our listeners are updated on the backstory of the tiger who will be on the field. We're talking with Billy Embody, covers LSU for On3 and Bengal Tiger On3. Let's get to the game, Billy. I watch LSU at times this year. Even their last game against A&M stands out, where there's a stretch. This looks like maybe one of the five or six best teams in the country. Nussmeier is dealing. They're better defensively from where they were last, and you're like, damn, here comes LSU. And then like a flip gets switched, and all of a sudden we know Marcel Reed's going to run the ball on every play, and they can't stop the quarterback run. Nussmeier starts throwing picks left and right. Like, they are such a hot and cold team, it feels like. Do you have the same feeling? And what are the thoughts down there about this matchup, a game in which they are an underdog in their own stadium at night?
Yeah, this is a team that is very hot and cold at this point. You know, even you go all the way back to that season opener against USC and just some of the things they were able to do and then not do at times. And that's kind of what's plagued them from, I think, reaching their full potential is inconsistency. You know, you mentioned Garrett Nussmeier looking like a first-round pick in the first half, and then in the second half looking like he can't possibly, be the starting quarterback at a school like LSU. But and I love Nuss, but that was obviously not his best half at all. And I've seen Nuss basically grow up from his first ever start as a sophomore in high school. I was there for it, and then saw his last start as a senior, and then now he's grown into what is one of the better quarterbacks in the SEC. I mean, truthfully. So mm-hmm. if that is the Nuss that we see out there. As a whole, watching this game, the one that is one of the better quarterbacks in the SEC, I think LSU is going to be able to take care of business, because at the same time, Alabama's been up and down a little bit this year. You know, we've seen them put together a great half against Georgia, and then almost, well, they technically, did allow the full comeback to Georgia and then ended up edging out the Bulldogs there. But then, of course, the loss to Vanderbilt, which turned out to be a pretty good team. So, these are two teams that are a little hot and cold. I think LSU's big thing will be stopping the quarterback run. You mentioned Marcel Reed being able to roll against them. And Jalen Milroe is somebody that's going to run the ball a lot Saturday night. And you couple that with Alabama's secondary looking really good against Missouri and being able to win at the point of attack. Garrett Nussmeier is going to need to find a way to control the passing game and pull the right strings and not, press too much. He's going to have to use his tight end. He's going to have to dump it off to the running backs. Caden Durham's been great. They're going to have to find ways to make Alabama defend the entire field. And I think Joe Sloan's a really good offensive coordinator. He's going to find a way to do that.
It's interesting, Billy, when you look at this matchup, because you mentioned Alabama, very identical teams where they've looked at times like they're unbeatable. And even Georgia game's a prime example. That first half, oh my God, it's the best team I've ever seen. And then they blow a 30-point lead in the second half. So very identical. When I look at the coaching matchup, it's interesting too, because DeBoer's gotten a lot of heat from Bama fans. They're coming down from the high of Nick Saban and realizing what life will be like without him. On the other side of it, you have Brian Kelly, who's toted a couple of L's early in the season, trying to stay alive in the playoff race. I know you guys live and die with the outcome of games, maybe a little bit more so than other pockets of the country. How big is this one for Brian Kelly this weekend?
This is a huge game for Brian Kelly. You look at what he's done in Baton Rouge, and he took over a very rough situation, coming off COVID and Ed Ogeron, and it was just a complete kind of train wreck, just where the roster was. He went out and got Jaden Daniels. He fixed one piece of it, and then the defense fell apart, and they lost all of their veteran seniors, and that was when Jaden Daniels won the Heisman. So it's been a team that hasn't been complete, whenever Brian Kelly's been here, but they've been talented enough to go out and win 10 games the first 2 years in Baton Rouge. So there is that aspect where he is one of the better coaches in the country mm-hmm. at being able to prepare his team week in, week out, and they'll give you usually a pretty good effort. But where they fall short sometimes is the roster has just been a work in progress. They went out and gutted their entire defensive staff this past offseason after the worst defense in LSU history was rolled out there, and they've shown improvement, and they've done that without Harold Perkins, who's out for the year with an injury. So, and he's one of the stars across the country in college football. And for LSU, they have the bye week, of course, and Brian Kelly with a bye week is something that I think is really dangerous, and he's undefeated at Tiger Stadium at night as well during his tenure. So this game is at night. the fans are going to be riled up. There's a little sense of that magic when you get in there for that stadium, and you know, fans just kind of impact the game. It's one of the true places in college football where there is a that aspect of it. So if they can find a way to, you know, pull this one out, doesn't matter if it's by a point, by 20 points, people are going to be happy. And it's a huge game in the respect that if he does lose and all of a sudden, all right, you lose to Alabama two years in a row, the heat is going to be on them even more. And people want to see a national championship. He was brought in to be this this really strong voice for this program and be the CEO of it. And if the CEO is not getting it done and not getting LSU to Atlanta or beating Alabama, the pressure is going
to
be on.
Yeah. Just a reality you got to live in down there. You're right, man. That atmosphere is going to be insane. One of those bucket list stadiums I'd love to get to if they win. You got Florida, Vanderbilt, Oklahoma left, so a very manageable schedule. One of my favorite daily ticker hits we've done, we get live Tiger news, a shout-out to Pelican Brewing, and we talk an awesome college football game. Billy Embody, go give him a follow on Twitter, at Billy Embody, covering LSU. Thanks so much for the time out here in Portland, man. Hopefully you can make it back out and get to another Pelican Brewing here soon and enjoy that showdown tomorrow night. Should be a blast.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
There you go. Billy Embody covering LSU. Really good stuff. And that they got a live Tiger. That bitch, Carole Baskin. They got a Tiger from Carole Baskin,
got a live
man.
Tiger.
They had to bust in a Tiger. It's so funny, the political angle behind that, where they're like, they don't want him on the sideline. Now the governor's like, no, we want a Tiger on the side. It's Alabama's in town. We need a Tiger on the sideline. What a game. It's going to be tomorrow night, 4:30.
It's so weird hearing him call Garrett Nussmeier Nuss.
Nuss.
Because that's what we called his dad that
yes.
I played with in high school.
Yes.
Playing basketball. We just all called him Nuss.
That's such a funny angle. Yeah. Do you ever stay in touch with, like, is that
every once in a while?
Randomly here.
I forget where he's coaching now. Last he was with the Cowboys coaching
tight
ends.
That's what I thought.
But
yeah.
I don't know if he's still there or not.
I have to Google that and see.
Keep waiting for him to be in the stands, but if he's coaching, he's.
He can't be there for most games.
There.
Yeah. Probably watching
but if
him
you
on
see
tape.
Him, he's his son looks just like him.
Identical.
Yeah.
This is a game where the reacting fan base.
We can't trust your ass now. Landy is my daddy.
Oh, buddy.
I'm in sports hell.
If losing fan base at this game, it's going to have an absolute meltdown on Monday. I can't wait for it. Let's get to the rest of the showdowns in college football. A really interesting weekend of college football. The Daily Ticker, as always, brought to you by Pelican Brewing, now offering their newest signature Pelican West Coast IPA on a shelf near you. Raise your glass and drink on Pelican Brewing, born of the beach. College football slate next on The Fan.
It's crunch time.
Let's go!
Where Dirt and Sprague crunch the hot topics you want to hear.
What's the pressure? Don't sit here and act like there's no... We get nervous teeing off in front of a gallery on the 10th hole at Eastmoreland.
Crunch time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. With memberships as low as $9.99 per month. Find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com.
Hey, crunch time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Memberships as low as $9.99 a month. Find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, online at crunch.com. I was going to do the NFL pressure cooker at the top of the hour. I might have to punt that segment. We got too much in college football to get to. Tyson Aldridge is going to join us at 8:15, and then don't forget at 8:30, we will spray the lines to get your fake sponsors into the Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864.
It's pretty much Zach Taylor right now in the Bengals.
Yeah, I mean, that was bad. That was a tough loss. This is hilarious timing on this, by the way. There was an article that came out. I did not see this. Now, they're going to have a Tiger at LSU this weekend. I can't wait to watch it. It's going to be fascinating. The guy who's bringing the Tiger, his name's Mitchell Kalmanson. He's the Tiger guy. He's the Tiger King who's bringing this Tiger.
Okay. Florida man.
It's hilarious to me that they have a Tiger outside their stadium. They still have Mike the Seventh, but they're not bringing in Mike the Seventh. They have their own Tiger, but we're busting in another Tiger. So many questions.
I don't know.
There was a report that came out from WBRZ, which I'm assuming is a local news outlet down there in Louisiana, that this guy has a long history of citations for mistreating tigers and other animals.
Perfect.
And on top of that, in this article, it states that he has had tigers escape from him twice.
Great.
You ain't at Washington no more.
No, no.
There we go.
No, you're not. So,
Governor taking questions.
Will the Tiger escape? This is going to be so fun tomorrow night. Looking at the slate of college football this weekend, we can start with one local team. I'm going to get to the rest of it here at top of the hour. But Washington's on the road at Penn State this weekend. Anything there for you? 5 o'clock on Peacock. Penn State's coming off a tough emotional loss at home. Huskies coming off a last-second win at home against USC. Different team on the road, especially when they have to travel two time zones away. You're going all the way out. Beaver Stadium.
No, only if they win.
Yeah,
And if they win, it's more about what the hell happened to Penn State. Did Ohio State just wreck them?
Break them, yeah. Here's what I would say. Washington has been horrendous when they've had to travel that far away from home, and they've been bad on the road all year.
Yeah.
Let's not sit here and act like go through their games. They had a dogfight in week two against Bowling Green. Illinois, who is a team who I think we would all admit the shine has kind of come off Illinois the last 2 weeks. Oregon beat them by 30. They lost to Minnesota, I believe, last week. They were in a dogfight at home against Illinois. UCLA hung with them for a bit. Penn State needed overtime to beat USC, who is below 500 at this point of the season. And their Wisconsin game, now granted, their quarterback got hurt. Backup came in and played well. That game was in doubt until late in the second half. And so they've played a lot of close, uncomfortable games. I don't gamble college football because we can't legally do it here, and I don't want to, you know, jump through all the hurdles to do it like I used to prior to the legalization of gambling. I might end up being completely wrong on this. If I were going to bet this game, I don't know how I feel about necessarily either side. I would hammer the under in this game. Penn State's offense sucks. Washington's defense is respectable this year.
Yeah.
You know Washington's going to do dumb stuff on offense to hurt themselves because they do dumb stuff every time they're on the road. Bad turnover, bad penalty. This has like 20 to 10, 21, like has a low scoring, ugly night game. Penn State's beat up from their game last week. There's a bit of a hangover there. Like, this has low-scoring, ugly football game written all over it in my mind. Might end up being completely wrong on that, but that's my glance at it going into tomorrow. This is one, considering the time it's going to be on and that it's not on it's on Peacock, so you got to open up the app in order to watch it.
Yeah.
No. This is one that I'm checking. You know, you keep an eye on scores. Like, just, is it close? How's it at the end of the first? How's it at the end of the second? What's it look like early in the second half? If you get yourself a ball game, then maybe you find your way over there, but not one that I think you would sit around and watch the entirety of when you're going on at the same time as, you know, Bama LSU. If you're a Duck fan, you're watching that game on the Big Ten Network. So got some other ones to keep an eye on. But Washington is on the road. Curious to see how that one plays out. And then the Cougs, 7:30 at home against Utah State. So there's your local schools and who they're playing. Let's get to the SEC showdowns this weekend. Really important games, not just, I guess, in the SEC, but also for the Big 12 conference championship race. I want to dive a little bit into the slate of college football, things to keep an eye on in some of these games. We'll dive into that next. We'll get Tyson Alger coming up at 8:15, Sprague in the line at 8:30. Loaded final hour. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.